Now with Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8 on the Abe and Joe Talk radio show, host Joe Uris interviews film director Penny Allen, formerly of Portland and now a French citizen, about the recent attacks on Paris and reactions to them. At 9 on alternative radio, physicist, scholar, and social activist Vandana Shiva speaks on the recovery of the commons. At 10 on Air Cascadia, Chris Andre speaks with Dr. John Tauberth of the Center for Sustainable Economy about the new report linking clear-cutting in Oregon to global warming pollution. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. At 11 on Stage and Studio, host Dime Roberts talks with Portland writer and editor Samantha Waltz, who explores what it means to be a stepfamily in her book, Blended, Writers on the Stepfamily Experience. They're joined by contributor to the book, Jessica Page Morell. And at 11:30 on Art Focused, host Andre Middleton talks about celebrating public art with guests RAC Executive Director Eloise Damrosch and public art managers Kristen Calhoun, Peggy Kendellen, and Keith Lohovich. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a current member or want to increase your membership, please go to kboo.fm/give to find out more about our current one-to-one matching grant.
And stay tuned now for an interview with Ali Al-Ahmed of the Institute for Gulf Affairs. Good night, Ken.
Good night, Callie. Good night, Danielle.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
We are joined in the line today by Ali Al-Ahmed. He's director of the Institute for Gulf Affairs in Washington, D.C. And we are hearing a lot in the news over the last few days about the attacks in Paris. We want to talk today with you, Ali, about some of the roots of what we are seeing now, the blowback, as some analysts call it. How has the U.S. and France, through their ally, Saudi Arabia, really fueled the rise of ISIS or Daesh?
Well, let us remember one thing, that like communism, political movements have an ideology, a certain, inclination or another. ISIS or Daesh has an ideology that we know where it came from, and its foundation, its support comes from the Gulf countries, specifically Saudi Arabia and Qatar. ISIS, Daesh, has the same ideology as the government of Saudi Arabia, the government of Qatar. So you have three countries or three governments that have the same ideological foundation. If you don't like ISIS, if you don't like Daesh, then at least what you can do is bring pressure to the governments that support them by default or direct or actively. The Saudi government Salafi Wahhabi doctrine is not that different than ISIS. ISIS has thousands of Saudis. The Qatari media supports openly ISIS and its attack, and it really plays almost a PR firm for ISIS, making it magnificent and covering up its crimes, for example, against the Yazidis. If you look at Al Jazeera Arabic, for example, you don't see a single story about the killing, the enslavement of thousands of Yazidi women and children, or the massacres that ISIS has committed in Iraq and Syria. So without really addressing the allies of the United States, namely Qatar and Saudi Arabia, we will continue to have ISIS and other similar groups. The people of the United States remember, especially the older generation, they grew up with the threat of communism. And communism, the word communism and the threat of communism only disappeared only when, after the collapse of the Soviet Union. And if the current government in Saudi Arabia and Qatar stays the way they are, Wahhabi-oriented dictatorships, absolute monarchies, we will continue to have ISIS and Al-Qaeda. September 11 was 15 years ago, yet we are still dealing with another group that has the same ideological foundation. The funding, the support comes from these two countries, Saudi Arabia and Qatar.
Well, and let's talk a little bit about Wahhabism. You talk about a Saudi school in Paris that's teaching some of these principles. What is the Wahhabi sect, and what are some of the teachings there?
Well, the Wahhabi sect is a relatively new sect within Islam. It is really a recapture of pre-Islamic belief system and doctrine. You notice today, the organizations that are killing other Muslims in masses. Of course, there are other Muslim organizations and politicians or political organizations that are fighting within the Islamic world and killing. But in terms of an organization or organizations that are attacking mosques, markets, kidnapping civilians, beheading children, Muslim children, these are only the Wahhabi organizations. Wahhabism was born in the middle of Arabia, as a reintroduction of pre-Islamic values of the region of Najd, the Central Arabia, and it is very vicious. It's narrow-minded, and in many ways, it's not an Islamic form of faith. It has to say it's Muslim, obviously, but if you look at the doctrinal foundation, it is different than the overwhelming majority of the Muslim world, both in the Sunni and the Shia realms. And I've done a study on that for Congress in terms of the school books, which I'm an expert on. And the doctrinal foundation of Wahhabism is different than that Sunni Islam. In fact, in those textbooks, they label the majority of Sunni Islam as heretics, as polytheists, and non-believers. These teachings that we found not only in France, but also in Washington, and of course, and across Europe, the teachings of these Saudi school books are horrendous, and they are extremely xenophobic, violent, hateful. They include, for example, the following. I'm giving you just an example, because there are so many other abhorrent belief systems that most of the Muslims do not adhere to. For example, killing every Jewish person that's on the face of the earth. Of course, people who are homosexuals also should be killed. Very similar to ISIS. They talk about slavery, for example. How much is a slave is worth? If you kill a slave, you don't pay. It's not a crime. It's really just you receive a fine for killing a slave. These are some of the teachings of these school books that are printed by the Saudi government. No wonder ISIS teaches the same material. No wonder ISIS has been acting on these teachings.
Wow. Well, these are obviously extremely abhorrent beliefs. And yet, at the same time, both the French government and the U.S. government consider the Saudi government to be a close ally in the fight against Daesh or ISIS. How is this disconnect justified by these governments?
Exactly. You know, I actually worked on this issue for many years in terms of the school books. This is just an example. I've done other examples on terrorism and so on. I brought this to the attention of the French government in Paris and in the United States. I brought the same issue to the American government in Washington, D.C. several times in Congress and State Department. The reaction was like, oh, it's not really a big deal. And they're working on it. They kept saying that for 10 years. I said, look, I'm a Muslim. When I show you this about how the Saudi government teaches millions of young minds that Christians and Jews are the enemies and they should be killed, you should be upset. And it was very easy to bring pressure to the Saudis to take this out, making these school books at least representative of the government, of the people of that country. Because in Saudi Arabia, Wahhabism is not the majority. It is maybe the largest plurality, but it's not the majority of the population. But the problem is, this is the state religion. Wahhabism is the Saudi state religion. It is enforced against the will of so many in Saudi Arabia, and of course spread across the globe. And it has not been good. The spread of Wahhabism has not been good for Muslims. It has not been good for the people of the country, and it has not been good for the people of the world, as we saw this in September 11, in the rise of ISIS, in the rise of Al-Qaeda, and similar groups. So really, if we can talk about this until the end of time without taking on the power source of ISIS, of this ideology, namely the Saudi government and the Qatari government, we will continue to suffer the scourge of ISIS, of Al-Qaeda, and similar groups. Our kids will be attacked, planes will come down, schools will be shot, and this hate among religions. Right now, I'm a Muslim. I suffered. I can tell you my experience. I suffered so much because of what happened on September 11. I was seen by the American government and by many people that I am a threat to them, although I'm one of those people who are in the front line fighting this ideology. So anytime there is a terrorist attack carried out by a Muslim, really every Muslim is impacted negatively. People can't help but put you in that category. And that's why it's not only for us, but for the people of the world, for the relationship between religions and cultures, we need to end this scourge of terrorism by addressing and targeting its source. When I say addressing and targeting, I'm not talking about bombing, but the world can come together and force the Saudi and Qatari monarchy to give up this ideology and to introduce an inclusive government. The people of those countries should have a say. These governments currently are absolute monarchies with no input from their people.
Now, the French government in June, the French prime minister met with the Saudi deputy crown prince, negotiated a weapons deal worth $12 billion. Has there been, now that this attack, this horrific attack taken place in France, has there been any response from the French government to rescind those offers to Saudi Arabia for weapons, or is that a continuing relationship?
I do not think I see any change in behavior in terms of the Americans or the French or the British behavior towards the Saudi monarchy. All of them know in their hearts that the Saudi government and the Qatari government are problems. Yet we saw today that the U.S. government agreed to sell the Saudis $1.5 billion, not worth of school material or hospital and medicine, but smart bomb. To do what with them? To bomb the poorest Arab country of Yemen, to bring more destruction. It has been always my policy to tell the American government that American people will benefit greater. Our people will benefit at a greater level if you sold us homes and hospitals and communications and roads. You make more money, in fact, if you help us build homes and schools and so on than selling us tanks and missiles. And stability really is furthered by building homes and hospitals, not by selling weapons. Unfortunately, the weapon lobby has been able to push. It's not the American builders lobby. It's not the American Lumber Association and Auto Manufacturer Association. These are the people we need to push the American government in selling us, our people, for that oil, homes and schools and cars and communications. The same thing with the French. They care about selling us weaponry. They don't care about having our education system introduce ideas of democracy and enlightenment. Everyone calls the Paris the city of lights. Those lights we don't have. We want to have those lights, the lights of philosophy and liberalism and political participation. France and the United States have two things in common. Not the fact that the French sent the U.S. the Statue of Liberty, but because both the French and the the Americans overthrew a monarchy, an absolute monarchy, and raised a republic. What we need in the Gulf, in Saudi Arabia especially, is a republic. In Qatar, we need a republic. There is no time, there is no space for an absolute monarchy, especially a monarchy that is corrupt, that is bringing terrorism to the world and against its people, obviously. But so really, it is for the benefit, the economic, political, stability, security benefit of the world and the American people to bring an end to these monarchies, not by war, but by sustained political pressure. There are a lot of people in my country who dream of the day that they can run for office as the president of the Arabian Peninsula instead of living in an absolute monarchy. The American government reaction has not been supporting this goal of building a republic based on the rule of the people, of the people, by the people, for the people. I hope the American people will fill in the void that to support our goal for a political system that is open, that is free, that gives the individual their freedom and liberty and their right to live free of any religious or ideological restraint.
Well, thanks so much. Again, I've been speaking with Ali Al-Ahmed. He's the director of the Institute for Gulf Affairs in Washington, D.C. And in his statement today, Ali says the solution for this tragedy is not to go around shutting down mosques in France. It is to end the support and weapons the Saudi regime has gotten from the U.S., France, and other countries. This is Jenka Soderberg with KBOO News.
The time is 6 o'clock, and you're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 Community Radio. Coming up next is Labor Radio, followed by Prison Pipeline, and Hard Knock Radio at 7, so stay tuned.